Day that started off really good for us as both Caitlin and Emily became Christians early this morning, and I mean early this morning. I was talking to them after services this morning and asked them about how it felt when they woke up, and we agreed there's just something about obeying God's plan that just makes you breathe a sigh of relief. You're not worried anymore. Too many people are worried. And it's such a simple thing. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things I have thought about for years. I've had the privilege of studying, I guess, with hundreds of different people through the years. And it's one of those things where when you get to the point where it culminates in baptism, baptism is certainly not the most important part. It's just the end piece, the final. And it just seems too simple. And yet, it is so beautiful. And when you think about God's plan, there's a peace. And that's what I want to kind of talk about this evening, is the simplicity of the things He asks us to do. And I want to look at a very specific subject along those lines, and it's kindness. Kindness is kind of a dying art today. I don't remember a time in my life where the national discourse was so unkind. It just seems like everybody's mad at everybody, and it seems like instead of having a discussion, people or a debate of ideas, people just they get mad if anybody disagrees with them on anything, and it just seems like kindness is just dying. There's a lot of people who think there is something very refreshing about frank speaking. And frankness has its place, don't get me wrong. But when it turns to be harsh and hurtful, that's not what God desires of His servants. I've been here 27 years now. Can y'all believe? Yeah, I know you can believe it. You've heard me preach for 27 years. It seems like longer. But one of the things that Carolyn and I have loved about Happy is how kind everybody has been. Certainly within the church, but even within the community, people have been kind to us. And that's a very inviting lifestyle. It's a very joyful existence. And so let's look at this a little bit from God's standpoint when we talk about this virtue of kindness. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 begins with a list of sinful acts, but then it goes into a list of righteous acts that are referred to as fruits of the Spirit. But in Galatians 5:19, it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. I really appreciate the simplicity of the gospel plan, because when we talk about obvious, there's nothing hidden about God. We convolute it sometimes when it comes to God's plan, but God's grace is a beautiful gift. The sacrifice of Christ is beautiful. His resurrection that proved his power over death and proved his sonship, that he was in fact the Son of God. When you think about hearing the word and the word being just right before us, to where each one of us can pick it up and understand it. And of course, if you're too young to pick it up and understand it, then a lot of the requirements don't apply to you yet. And if your mind is not, because of the way that God made you, incapable of assimilating and understanding simple facts, then again, you have an innocence that you don't have to worry about taking care of the sin in your life. But for most of us, those two things do not apply. We get to an age where we understand the difference between right and wrong, and we understand that we have been wrong in certain areas, and yet God has this plan for us to take care of it, so that we don't have to worry about our sins anymore. Faith, just believing. I can read it. It makes sense. It is something that's obvious. Understanding what it means to confess our faith, that we do believe Jesus is our Lord. He's the Son of God. Repentance, this idea of just turning away from our sin, which we're about to read about here, and turning towards God. And then baptism. The word is literally means to immerse. It doesn't mean sprinkle or pour. It just means immerse. But it's being immersed in water as an act of obedience and a testimony of our conscience towards God, as Peter put it. But the things that God has for us are not too difficult. And neither are the sins. We live in an era where people don't want to call sin sin anymore. And so when we start off by saying the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, this is important to us. We might pretend like they're not, but that won't wash with God. You know how it is when those of you who have kids and they get to the age of about 3 or 4, they'll try to put things over on you. They'll get to the age of 13 or 14 and they'll try to act dumb, but you know better than that because you did that with your parents and it just won't wash with you. Why is it that we think when it comes to the sins that God has specified, if we act like we really don't understand it, why would we think that God would buy that? He knows our heart. He knows our mind. So here are the acts of the sinful nature. They are obvious. Sexual immorality. That includes any type of sexual immorality. Impurity. Debauchery. Idolatry. Witchcraft. When I was younger, I didn't know anybody that practiced witchcraft. I was wondering why that was in the list. And now we're seeing people doing this. Whether there's anything to it or not, they are reaching out in an attempt to follow Satan and demons. Hard to believe, but there it is. Hatred, we understand. Discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't it nice that we have an opportunity to be able to wash our sins away and then once we're Christians to walk in the light, and when we sin to go to God and just ask Him for forgiveness, repent and ask for forgiveness. Because if we live in sin, we won't inherit the kingdom of God. It could not be plainer. But then he says, just like the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, he goes to the fruit of the Spirit, and there is a list that we're all familiar with: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But right in the middle of that is kindness. And let me remind you, as I have to remind myself, of a very simple fact. Fruit grows on a tree of a like kind. In other words, if you want to get apples, you probably better plant an apple tree. If you want peaches, then you're going to have to go to a peach tree. When we talk about fruits of the Spirit, we are talking about those who have obeyed God's gospel plan, who are in Christ, who've not only received that initial forgiveness of sins, but who've also received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that seal of redemption. But this idea of the fruit of the Spirit, one of them being kindness, if you don't exhibit kindness, are you sure that you're in Christ? Are you sure you're a Christian? Either are you sure you became a Christian in the first place, or are you sure that you have remained a Christian? Because we're commanded not to fall away. If we don't have these attributes, these fruits, and we'll have them in different measure, but if you don't have these things, if I have a tree that never produces apples, but it does seem to produce pecans, I don't have an apple tree. I've got a pecan tree. if you don't have any kindness in your life, and kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, do you even have the Spirit? And what evidence would you show if you don't? Kindness is not a fluff thing. It's not an optional thing. It is something that we are to have. It's one of the things that will attract others to Christ. Again, one of the things I love about this church is people are really pretty basic, and they are who they appear to be. And there's a kindness here that's very attractive. It just builds on itself. We've had a number that have moved in recent years and have started coming by and worshiping with us in recent years and in recent months. And it's always heartwarming to me to see how kind people are to the newcomers, and also how kind the newcomers are to the people who are here. It's one of those ideas of like attracting like. Verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This idea of keeping in step with the Spirit, there is, we looked in 1 John about this idea of God being light and that we're to walk in the light. We keep in step with how God wants us to live. And again, kindness is one of those factors. Now, what happens if as Christians we're not producing the fruit of kindness? In Luke chapter 13, in verse 6, Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He went out to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and have not found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Now, there's a number of ways, a number of applications for this parable. One is, if you're a Christian, you ought to be producing other Christians. In other words, you ought to be attracting people to Christ. You ought to be encouraging other Christians so that their life is easier and so they don't fall away. We raise children to become servants of God, not in some twisted cult-like manner, but in the way that the Scriptures instruct, to where, again, this idea of simplicity and each man and each woman being responsible for their own acts, but here he has the church as something that he wants to be not only assembled on the first day of every week, but it's the body of the reconciled. It's the body, we're told in Acts chapter 2, that God adds you to when you obey the gospel. And again, part of that is kindness. So do we add fruit by adding other Christians and inviting? Of course we do. But part of this idea of bearing fruit is the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, and of course the kindness. Are we producing kindness? And I would say in many ways, as far as I can see, I'm not the judge, but I can sure see the kindness here exemplified with one another, and it's very it makes things very nice. There are several things as well. Katie's about to leave us. She's got what till the 20th so I think Saturday she's going to be heading to Lubbock, and it's an exciting time to leave, and it's a scary time to leave. And but one of the things that she will find is the same thing that all of us have found when we go to a new place, and that's that we'll seek out kind people. And so it's so important for us. We're about to have Jarrett's Katie, by the way, is coming here. So we're trading one Katie for another. So that's a good exchange. And one of the things that Katie, Jarrett's girlfriend, loves is how kind people are to her. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, it says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down." There's a lot of uncertainties in life that will just get you down, but a kind word cheers them up. When you go to a new place, isn't it nice to have somebody just be kind to you? Have you ever thought of how powerful that is? This gift you have within you that can cheer people up. Too many people are just sad, or they're mad, or they're just all anxious inside. A kind word can cheer people up. "So good to see you. So glad you're doing well. Thank you for being here. Thank you for doing what you do." There's nothing like being able to show a fellow human being, a fellow servant of God, their worth by just a kind word. It doesn't cost you anything except for thought, but it produces incredible benefits. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 21 says, "He who despises his neighbor sin." This idea of despising certainly can include animosity and hatred, but it can also be something as simple as just reducing them to nothing. "I don't think about them. I don't care about them. Well, you know, they can go their way and I'll go mine." We just treat them as insignificant. We despise them. "But blessed is he who is kind to the needy." A lot of times, and certainly the main application on this, talking about the needy. By the way, did you notice the word says needy, not wanty? I know wanty's not a real word. but there's a lot of people who want stuff from you that wouldn't be good for them to have without effort. There are others who have needs, who they're doing everything they can, but they can't supply these needs on their own. And so when it says, "Blessed is he who is kind to the needy," there are people in our lives who truly have need of different things. Sometimes they're physical things. Sometimes they're spiritual things. Sometimes they're emotional things. And if we're kind and we can recognize those needs and take care of them, it just makes people's life so much better. And so what a beautiful thing God is getting. By the way, when he says blessed, part of that's happy. You'll be happy when you help others who really need the help. And you will also receive God's favor, the other side of blessed. You'll receive God's favor when you help others that need the help. Just a couple more passages, and we'll go ahead and close this evening. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. He's talking to the church now, and he says, "As God's chosen people, understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The invitation is for everybody. God's grace is extended. The offer of grace is extended to everybody. But not everybody accepts it. Those who do accept it are referred to as God's chosen people. And so Paul, through inspiration, says, "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." We are God's chosen people. He's extended the invitation. We've accepted it. We know that God adds to the church everyone who's obedient to his commands. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. And one of those things we're to clothe ourselves, to put on, is kindness. Kindness becomes part of the fabric of your life. It becomes part of who you are because you wear this kindness everywhere. It's not something that is phony or that you just bring out for certain people. Kindness is part of who you are because you're part of God's chosen people. You think about what all God has done for you. And again, everybody can be part of God's chosen people, but only a few accept, which is sad. But those who accept his terms, dearly loved by God, clothe themselves with all these Christian attributes, and kindness is one of them. And when you look at that, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, these things are very attractive. They help people's lives. I always tell teens, if you want to be popular, and everybody that's every stage of life wants to be popular, but especially when you get to that particular age, just be decent. And people really appreciate that. And then look at verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, bearing with one another in love. Part of kindness is that understanding that everybody you run into is going to make some mistakes. And everybody that you run into is going to have some sin in their life that needs to be addressed, that needs to be repented of, that needs to be sought out for it, whether it's the initial plan of salvation or if you're a Christian by praying for the forgiveness. But this idea of bearing with one another in love is so important. There are some people who just refuse to suffer fools. And I understand that we do not need to humor evil. Please don't misunderstand this part. But if you and I cannot allow a brother or sister, or somebody that we hope will be a brother or sister in Christ someday, to make a mistake from time to time, to where we can be concerned about them, to where we can be praying about them, to where we can be inviting to help them come back, if we cannot bear with one another in love, what good are we? How different are we from the world at that point? Because that seems to be the problem with the world, and that's kind of where we started, isn't it? This world just seems to be getting meaner and meaner. And in a world of meanness and unkindness, isn't it nice that God has chosen for us to have an island of kindness? It's a refuge. It's a comfort. It's like waking up in the morning after becoming a Christian and going, ah, because you're not worried about being lost anymore. Kindness cures a lot of the world's ills, and the lack of kindness really should be something that concerns us, because it's a symptom of somebody who is not bearing fruit, and not bearing fruit is a symptom of somebody who is either not in Christ or who's in danger of falling out. And so, simple lesson, simple thoughts, but powerful in their effects. Are you kind? The invitation's open this evening. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.